Heavenly Father, we come to you now, God, and we thank you, Lord, for seeing fit that we see this day today, Lord God, where we're found in your house, in this place of worship, in this place of prayer, God. We come to you, God, and we bow at your feet, Lord God. Lord, in more ways than one, God, we lay our lives down to you, God, today. And I ask that you, Holy Spirit, that you help me to deliver this truth to your people, God, that it does not fall on deaf ears, but it goes into hearts that are receptive and open to receive from you, God. Lord, I pray for your people here now. God, I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray for joy. I pray for peace, God, to fill this room now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who is present with us, our comforter, our counselor, our teacher. We thank you, God. And we lean on you, God, right now, because you are our strength. We give you all the praise, and we bind the works of the enemy now in the name of Jesus. He has no place in this room. In Jesus' name we say a big amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five as you find your seat. Praise the Lord. I want to say a special welcome to those who are watching online today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. I pray that this message blesses you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Today, the Spirit of the Lord has been kind of speaking to me lately with regards to the preeminence of the King. And if you need a title for today's message, you can go ahead and write that down as your title. Preeminence, the preeminence of the King. And the King that I'm referring to is Jesus. Jesus is our King. How many people in here recognize that Jesus is your King? Just let me see a show of hands in here. Praise God. Amen. He is our King. He is the one who rules over us. He lords over us. He has the authority in our life. Amen. But I believe sometimes as believers, it's easy for us to not really live that truth out, not really live like he's the King. He's truly the Lord over our lives. And so today we're going to put a little bit of focus and a little bit of onus back on that concept of God being our King, of him being number one in our life, him being the final authority and the most important authority in our life. And I have a question for you, and I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write down. Does Jesus take precedence over my everyday life? Does Jesus, write that down, does Jesus take precedence over my everyday life? Because oftentimes on Sunday morning, we come into a place like this, and everybody's all polished up. Everybody has the big smiles on, and they're speaking Christianese. How you doing, brother? I'm blessed and highly favored. We know all the right things to say, and we oftentimes we put on a facade and kind of we play the role, so to speak. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the truth is that God wants to be the God of your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday and Thursday, your Friday. He wants to be the God. Amen. He wants to be the Lord of your life, even in the bad times, even when you're struggling at home by yourself and no one else is around. He is with you. He's there with you, and he wants to be acknowledged and take precedence over your everyday life. To take precedence means simply to take priority. You know, we always say, you know, God is number one, God first, God's at the top. But what does that really look like in our everyday life? And as believers, we have to be introspective when it comes to how we walk before the Lord. The Bible tells us to walk circumspectly, to live circumspectly before God so that we can redeem the time. We only have so much time, each and every one of us, left on this planet. And in the time that we have left, it is our responsibility as purveyors of this Christ life, it is our responsibility to redeem the time that we have left and bring it to make it glorify God. And so our life should be lived to worship God. And worshiping God goes far beyond just singing a slow song in church. Worshiping God is truly a life that is lived in adoration and in respect and in total awe and openness towards God's will in your life. See, God has a will for your life. And in order to worship him, he said you have to worship him and in spirit and in truth. In order to worship God, you have to say, Lord, I open up my whole heart, my whole life belongs to you. Not what I want, not what I desire, but God, your desires have now become my desires. The things you love, I now love. The things you hate, I now hate. That is what it means to live and worship God. So that when we sing these songs, God, you're number one. God, we worship you. God, we exalt you above, high above all of the heavens and the earth. Our lifestyle is matching what the words that we are saying. That's worship. Amen. Amen. I have three children, ages 8, 7, and 4. Two boys and one girl. And the girl, she's 4 going on 14. You know what I mean? She's the boss of the house, so to speak. She's the little princess. And my three kids, I love them to death, but I have to be careful with what I tell them. Because if I tell them something, and many of you parents can relate to this, or grandparents, when you tell those children something, they don't forget what you've said. Say, for instance, I tell them, hey, it's a nice sunny day. You guys have been, you know, acting okay today. We're gonna go get some ice cream. They hear that, they drop what they're doing. They drop what they're playing with. They go and they run and they start putting on their shoes, putting on their clothes. They start preparing and getting ready to go get that ice cream. And they don't let me forget. Why? Because Dad, you said it. And I believe us as believers, we need to have that type of attitude towards God. Actually, I think that's what faith looks like. God, you said it. So I'm going to get myself ready. I'm going to stand myself up tall. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to fix myself up. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to put my hands to the plow and not look back. Why? Because his promises are yes and amen. God, you said that if I seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness, all of those other things will be added to me. So I'm going to respond to his word. This is what it looks like to make God the top priority in our life. It means that whatever we're doing, we drop it because we've heard from God and God has told us that we are to do, thus says the Lord. And whatever he says takes precedence over everything else in our life. Amen. The Bible, let's turn to the Bible. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. I'm going to read something real quick here. Real familiar scripture, real familiar story here in the Bible. And it says here in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. For the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. He went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke. I don't know what kind of storm you may be in, but I want to let you know that every time we find ourselves in a difficult season or in a storm or in a scary place, if we're sensitive, we will be able to hear Jesus speaking to us. Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid." In other words, Jesus was speaking to them, to his disciples who were in a boat, and they were on the sea, on the waters, and the waters were contrary to them. The wind was beating against them, but Jesus spoke to them and said, "It is I," and he gave them a command. Do not be afraid. I feel like that's the word for some of you guys today. Do not be afraid. I feel like if God could call you on a phone from heaven right now, he would call you and you would pick up and he would say, I'm with you. Do not be afraid. Yeah, the storm may be raging. Yeah, the winds may be blowing, but do not be afraid. That's a command. Do not be afraid. And God is not going to tell us to do something that we cannot do without his help. He says, do not be afraid. And honestly, why wouldn't you be afraid? You're in the situation that's scary, that seems impossible to get out of. But Jesus tells them, do not be afraid. And just, we have to get to the point as believers where just a word from God is all that we need in order to settle our soul. With just hearing his word, do not be afraid. Just hearing his word that I'm with you and I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Just hearing the truth of the word of God, just hearing the still small voice of the reminder of what we've already heard. We've been hearing in church all these years, but now we're faced with this storm, this situation, and we hear that reminder of the truth of God. Sometimes we have to get to the place where that's good enough for us. I don't need a tingly feeling in church. I don't need a whole bunch of lights. I don't need a whole bunch of fanfare. I just need to be reminded that God is with me, and that should be enough for me. I don't know about you, but I've been through some hard situations. I've been through some storms in my life. And there's some times where you don't have the music playing just right. You don't have the big screens and the lights and the cameras and the pastor on the stage preaching to you. Sometimes it's just you and yourself and God with you. And he has to remind you with that still small voice, I'm with you. Do not be afraid. And we have to allow his words to overwhelm and overcome and be above that situation or that circumstance. His truth of who he is and his track record of what he has done has to be more important to us and more real to us and more true to us than the circumstances we see in front of us. So Jesus has to take priority over all things in your life. He has to take priority. And there's three things I want to give you here. Three keys of this whole concept of God taking precedence or priority in your life. And number one is that putting God first, God being the number one, the top priority above all in your life, will transform you. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Focusing on him, putting him first in your life will transform who you are. You don't talk the same way you used to talk. You don't walk the same way you used to walk. You don't entertain the same foolishness you used to entertain. Can I get an amen? You won't find yourself hanging out with the same people that you used to hang out with. That's okay. You're being transformed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, but we all, say we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image of Christ. That is God's will for his church. For us to be being transformed, being changed as we prioritize him. You can tell a Christian who hasn't been prioritizing God because they're not changing like they should be. You can be saved and still not transformed. You can be saved and still not changing the way God intends for you to change, not maturing the way God intends for you to mature. You shouldn't still be drinking milk when you're 21 years old. You shouldn't still be getting fed by a bottle when you're 13 years old. You shouldn't still be have to be held on your mom's hip when you're 10 years old. You should have advanced. You should have grown. And this is the same thing with the body of Christ. I believe it's an epidemic in the body of Christ of immature Christians where we have not learned to grow in the things of God and transform into the likeness of Christ, being more and more made better from glory to glory the way God intends for us to be. We stay stagnant with who we are. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. That's great. But don't you know that God wants to transform you and make you over and make you better and make you stronger so you don't have to keep falling for the same old sins you keep falling for. You don't keep having to run back to those same addictions that you keep running back to. You can actually be set free and changed. You can actually be a better person. You are better. The truth is, you are a better you when you put God at first priority in your life. You're a better version of yourself when God is number one in your life. You could tell when someone doesn't have God first priority in their life because everything bothers them. They have attitude issue. They're always angry. Well, putting God first, number two, putting God first gives you direction. Keeping God the priority in your life, keeping Jesus at the center and at the helm, at the top of your life, gives you direction for your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In all your ways. How many of your ways? In all your ways. So in your marriage, in school, on the job, in your family life, in all your ways. With your physical body, in all your ways, put him first. Make his word the top priority in all your ways. And then what will happen? He will direct you. Some of you say, well, I just feel kind of lost right now. Guess what? God hasn't been the priority in your life. When God is not the priority in your life, you will end up confused. And we see this in the world all around us. We see people who are confused. They don't even know what gender they are. They want to try to come over here and try to be one of these people and find an identity over here and try to figure out an identity over here. Guess what you are? You're lost. Why? Because Jesus is not at the center and is not top priority in your life, because when he is, he will give you clear direction. That confusion is not of God. That sense of loss and sense of lack of purpose is not of God. When you set in your mind that I'm going to make God the top, the number one, my first, when I wake up in the morning, my first priority is to go vertical, connect to God. Before I do anything else, I'm going to connect to my Lord. When you make up your mind to live that way, then you will find direction. You will find, he will direct your paths. John chapter 10, verse number 20 says, 7 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Who are you following? Who are you following? Who are you following on social media? Some of y'all need to go through and unfollow some people. Some of y'all need to have a whole ceremony in your house. An unfollowing ceremony, and you need to go through and spend a couple of hours just going through and unfollowing people that you follow, because some of the people that you follow in are just as blind as you are. The Bible says you're blind. They're the blind leading the blind, and they both end up in a ditch in destruction. Jesus said, "If you know my voice, if I'm your shepherd, just like we heard today, Psalms 20, if I'm your shepherd, then you will listen to me." And you will follow what I'm telling you to do. There's one thing that God requires of us. It's for us to love him. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. How you like that? How would you like, ladies, how would you like a man to come up to you and say, you can be my wife and love me, but you have to do everything I tell you to do? Guess what? Jesus is not on the same plane as any of our earthly relationships. The relationship, when we say we're a friend of God and God is our best friend, God is our heavenly father and all these things. But guess what? The relationship that we have with God is predicated on the fact that we will follow him and we will do what he says. Not that he'll follow us. Not that he'll just go ahead and mold our life according to our liking, but that we'll acquiesce to his ways and his will for our life. So we'll follow him. He'll lead us. Say, he's going to lead me. Say, he's leading me. In Psalms 23, we heard it earlier. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads us beside still waters. And the truth is that we let so many other things lead us. We let feelings lead us. Don't get me wrong, feelings are important, they're real. God made us to have feelings. We're human beings, we're not robots. But our feelings, we cannot give permission to our feelings to lead us. Our feelings are not intended. God didn't give us feelings for them to lead us. That's His job. For some of you, your ego leads you. You do things that feed your ego, that stroke your ego. You only do things, even in church, you do things that are going to get you applause. You do things that are going to get you recognized. Your ego leads you, but guess what? God said, I'm supposed to lead you. Some of you, your pride leads you. You're a prideful person. And if it's something that you feel like is beneath you, you won't do it. And because you have a lot of pride, there's a lot of things that you won't do even in God's house. But sometimes God is calling you to do things just so that He can humble your heart, so that He can exalt you in due time. Number three, this is the third thing, the last thing, and I'm gonna get out your face here. Putting God first or prioritizing God gives you proper perspective. It gives you proper perspective. Isaiah 26, verse number 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So to prioritize God is to keep our mind focused on Him. This is why reading the Bible, reading your word every day, daily, it's your daily bread, reading it every day is important, because it's giving your mind something to feed on for the rest of that day. It's giving your mind something to meditate on. He will keep you in perfect peace, you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. He will help you to have proper perspective for your life, because you're not going to get peace based off how you feel, because one minute you may feel good, the next minute you may feel not so good. That kind of peace is the peace that the world gives. But Jesus said, I came to give you peace, not like this world gives, but I came to give you peace, and it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Literally, it means a peace that supersedes and is above, just like Jesus is above. It's above all of the circumstances. It's above all of the yeses or the noes. It's above all the open doors or the closed doors. It's above all of the good things or the bad things, all the accolades or the accomplishments or the failures. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. People look at you and they scratch their head. I don't understand why that person has so much peace in light of what they got going on in their life. It's a peace that surpasses all understandings. And so that peace comes from us focusing on Him. Keeping our mind focused on Him. Say, my mind is focused on Jesus. Say it again and believe yourself this time when you say it. Say, my mind is focusing on Jesus. Say, my mind is focusing on Jesus. Say, I have peace. Say, I have peace no matter what, because my mind is focused on Jesus. Peter got out of that boat. We read about Jesus coming up to them and seeing them and addressing them and telling them that it was Him. And Peter said, Lord, if it is You, bid me to come. And Peter stepped out of that boat. Y'all know the story. And he walked on water. So long as his eyes were focused on Jesus, he was walking on water. I don't know about you, but I've never actually walked on water before. That's miraculous. That's a miracle. But it was only possible because his mind, his eyes, his focus was on Jesus. And when you focus your heart and your life on Jesus, when the story of your life becomes about Jesus, then peace is a result. Amen. Amen. I want to show you this in Scripture. Turn with me to Habakkuk 3:17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17. Habakkuk 3:17, please. Habakkuk, being a prophet of God, he was a man who was known for having confidence in God. And I think as believers, especially in this crazy world that we live in, we have to learn how to not look at the circumstances, but to look at the circumstance changer, who is Jesus. Habakkuk 3:17, y'all got it? And he's listing off some things here in verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. And that's where some of y'all stop. You've recognized all of the problems. You have the problems memorized. You have them in alphabetical order in a mental Rolodex, and you know exactly what you don't have and what you lack. And Habakkuk, he's naming off these problems, these issues. See, faith is not ignoring or feeling like or trying to convince yourself that problems don't exist. But faith is putting your trust in God in spite of the problems. Because in verse 18, he says, yet. Everybody say yet. Yet. He says yet. Say yet. Yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God my salvation. He says yet. In spite of this list of things that have gone wrong and are going wrong, in spite of that, yet I choose to rejoice in the Lord. Putting God first keeps life and keeps situations in proper perspective. Because you remember that God has been faithful to me. He's been good to me before. I've encountered giants before. I've encountered tough times before, and he's been faithful. He's been faithful to me. He was with me before the fire, in the fire, and after the fire. God is faithful to me, so I have a yet in my spirit. You lose your yet when you fail to prioritize Jesus. Some of you have lost your yet. You have lost your ability to say, yet I will get up, dust myself off, and praise him. Yet I will still go to church, even though I don't feel like it. Do you know that Jesus did not feel like dying on that cross? He did not feel like dying on that cross. He said, God, if there be another way, I would really appreciate, God, if you could have this cup pass me. What did he say as a response to his own inquiry? He said, not my will, but yours be done, God. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In other words, I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna obey you. I'm gonna serve. I'm gonna continue to walk forward. I'm gonna continue to uphold the righteous standard. I'm gonna continue to live for you. I'm gonna continue to speak your word. I'm gonna continue to serve, to follow you, and do all that I'm supposed to do as a response to my love for you, because I have a yet in my spirit. Yet I will praise you. And that has to be your mindset. Above all else, above all of the issues, above all the confusion, above all the news stories, above all the worries, above all the addiction, above all the shame, above all your past, it has to be that, God, yet you're still good. God, yet I will still praise you. God, yet I will still tell the world of how you've saved me and redeemed me and changed me. And I've been faithful. I have the receipts. I remember what you have done in my life. And I'm not going to forget just because I have something that I'm going through right now. I'm not going to forget how good you've been to me. And some of y'all in here, you need to recognize, you need to remind yourself how faithful God has been to you. He hasn't given up on you. He didn't give up on you. Even when you thought it was over, you thought you were dead, guess what? You're still here. God, still, his plan is still working. It's still working. Say, it's still working. It's still Turn to somebody and say, it's still working. Say, he's still king. He's still in charge. He's still on his throne. He still has my life in his hands. Some of y'all need to get your yet back. Get your yet back. Get your the ability to remember how good God is back. And when you do, when you prioritize him, you'll have the strength to say, yet I will still praise him. I will still serve him. Even though 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, yet I will still praise him. Go ahead and close your Bibles. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you. For you all in this place. God, I come to you now, Lord. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that your way always works. Your word is always true, never fails. You never leave us, you never forsake us. God, you haven't forgotten about anyone in this place. Lord, and we're reminded right now in this moment how good you've been to us. Lord, we're done letting the things of this world distract us. Letting everything else become priority to us. God, to serve you and to please you is our number one priority. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for giving us a reason to serve you, a reason to shout and sing and to worship you. God, you've been better to us than we could be to ourselves, and we give you all the praise in this place, and we thank you for it.